The meeting, and we're thankful for the invitation to come along today. And boys and girls, and young people, maybe you might like to be called on this side. You all did very well. I always like going to a children's day, even if I can't see you from the pulpit, I can hear you. And when you were practicing this morning, when I came in the car, and I thought I could hear, I thought the speakers must be very good inside this church, or else they're singing very loud. And then, of course, when I got out and came a little closer, I discovered there were speakers outside the church. So I could hear you practicing as well as taking part. And you all did very well. I like to encourage you at a children's day because I remember when I was in your shoes, so to speak. And especially Mark leading and some of those who read. And I can still remember in children's day when I had to get up and read or whatever else. And I can say, you would have knew I was nervous. You would have heard it in my voice. I was really trembling. So you remember, maybe someday you might end up as a preacher or a missionary, and you might be up here again. But it's good to be with you. And as Mr. Porter has said, I have a bag here and some things to help us remember what we're going to say. But I want to read just two verses of Scripture in Revelation chapter 5. Two verses, and as I read them, I want especially the boys and girls to listen carefully. I might ask you a question, and if I do, put up your hand. But in these two verses I'm going to read, the Lord Jesus is described in two different ways. And as you'll see, it links into our message today, but I want you to listen carefully to these two verses in Revelation chapter 5 and the verses 5 and 6. Listen to how the Lord Jesus is described. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And we'll end our reading there. Can anybody tell me how the Lord Jesus is described in those verses? Not quite. Anybody else? Yes, a lion is one of them. That's right, a lion. Anybody tell me the other? A lamb. That's right. And I'm going to speak about some animals today that we find in the Bible. Now I know, at least in this part of the country, maybe some of you live on a farm. If you don't live in one, I'm sure you've been in one. You know about some of the animals. But hands up if you've been to the zoo. Some of you have been to the zoo. I live very near the zoo in Belfast. And if you've been to the zoo, there are some animals that you wouldn't normally see, well, I don't think so anyway, about Market Hill, out in the fields. But you'll see them maybe behind, maybe not bars, but behind some sort of fence that they'll not get out when you go to the zoo. And I'm going to talk about some animals that we find in the Word of God. And you were singing earlier about Noah and the ark. And of course, the animals went on to the ark. And boys and girls, it's good to remember that all the different animals that you see in the world, way back in the book of Genesis, when we read about God creating the world, we read about God creating the animals as well. And you know, God made the animals in a certain way. And some of them in particular to teach us about Himself. We read about the Lord Jesus being described as the Lamb and the Lion. And some other animals were made in a certain way to teach us about ourselves, about our sin. And so we're going to think about that this morning. I have four animals. We'll see how time goes. I have the watch off. Don't want to keep you too long. But two of the animals will teach us about our sinfulness, and two of our animals will teach us about the Lord Jesus and how we can be saved from our sin. And the message is not just, of course, for the boys and girls. It's for us all, because we all need to hear the same message concerning God's salvation. Now, these animals aren't living, of course. You'd be glad to know. Put up your hand if you know what this animal is. Yes? Not quite a tiger. You're getting close, but not a lion. Nope. We'll get there yet. Yes, a leopard. That's right. And you know what gives it away? What gives it away that it's a leopard? Spots. That is exactly right. Now, I think I have a picture here of the leopard as well. This is supposed to be a 3D picture. I don't know how well you can see it down there. But this is a leopard. And yeah, there's one cub there. Okay, so we have this leopard up here. And boys and girls, we'll call the leopard the spotted animal, because that's what makes it different than the tiger and the cheetah and a few other things as well. But do you know that in the Bible, there is one particular verse in Jeremiah that speaks to us about the leopard? And the leopard teaches us something about our sinfulness before God. I want you to listen to this verse in Jeremiah chapter 13 and the verse 23. And this is a question that is asked concerning the leopard. There's someone else mentioned in the verse, but listen to the verse. It says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots?" And then the verse goes on, "Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." The leopard has spots, and the question is asked, can the leopard change his spots? And boys and girls, that verse highlights one of the features as far as how God made the leopard. The leopard was made with these spots. And these spots on the leopard teach us an important lesson. The spots can't be washed away. They're not just dirt that could be washed away. No matter how much the leopard might roll about or rub itself up against something rough, the leopard cannot change its spots. You see, these spots are part of the leopard. The leopard is born with these spots. We could call them natural spots. The spots of the leopard have a lesson for us, because that verse in Jeremiah says if the leopard could change its spots, then could we do good of ourselves that are accustomed to do evil? The leopard can't change its spots. The leopard has these spots, some of them on the real leopard, some of them are big spots, some of them are little spots. They're black spots. And boys and girls, the spots on the leopard teach us about our sin. Because while they might be big spots outwardly on our bodies, yet the Bible says that our souls are filled with sin. We could talk about the spots of sin. When we think of black spots, we often think of black with sin. When we think of the little spots and the larger spots, maybe some of our sins seem like little sins. Other sins seem more serious. But you know, all our sins are against God. All our sins are breaking God's law. All our sins are serious in God's sight. And when we come back to the question, can the leopard change its spots? It can't. And we then ask ourselves the question, can we wash away our sins? Can we change our sinful hearts in and of ourselves? No, we ourselves cannot change our hearts. We ourselves don't have the strength to stop sinning. We ourselves have a great problem then. But thank God He can change our hearts. He can change our lives. God can wash away our sins. God can give us a desire to turn away from sin and turn to Him and ask Him for forgiveness and salvation and have that desire to live for Him and to please Him. That's why the Lord Jesus one day said in John chapter 3 to a man called Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." God has to give us a new heart when we come and ask Him for salvation, that we might be changed, that our sins might be washed away, that we might be able to live for Him. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And so, boys and girls, you'll maybe not see a leopard about Market Hill, unless it comes with a circus. But if you go to the zoo or maybe you watch a wildlife program and you see the leopard and you see the spots, you remember, that teaches us about our sin. We can't change our sinful hearts. We can't wash away our sins. But if we come to the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness, He can change our hearts. He can give us a new heart. He can take away the desire for sinning and give us a desire to please Him and live for Him. Okay, so that's the first animal, the leopard. And I should have another animal here that also teaches us something about our sin. Now, hands up if you know what this animal is. That's right, this is the fox. Now, you might have seen a fox about Market Hill. Yes, you might sometimes see one alive. Some people have seen them in their gardens. You've maybe seen them in the field along the side of the road. You might even see one dead, maybe got knocked over by a car. But if we have called the leopard the spotted animal, we could call the fox the sly animal. Now, I don't know. We have a chorus we sing up in John Knox. I don't know whether you've ever sung it in Market Hill. And it says, "The devil is a sly old fox." Have you ever heard that? Yes, okay. You see, if you see a fox, it looks a nice animal, looks a cute animal. Maybe you say, "Well, it just looks like a nice dog. I would like one as a pet." But the fox is a sly animal. The fox can be very cruel. Might look nice, but it could do you harm. And boys and girls, that teaches us about our sin. Sometimes sin, and of course the devil, sin seems attractive, it seems nice, it seems enjoyable. It seems something that might help you have a good time. That's what it seems like. But the Bible makes it clear, and people's own experience makes it clear, that, oh, sin might appear nice, might appear enjoyable, but it's really harmful. It's really cruel. It will harm us in life, and it will harm us forever if we don't turn from sin and trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And you know, sin has that effect in our lives. Maybe sometimes, I don't know, in school or at home, maybe you've done something wrong, something sinful, you know you've done wrong, and someone asks who did it. And you might appear very good and nice that you didn't do it. And that's what sin's like. When we sin, we don't want to let on we've done it. And yet God knows our hearts. And sin will harm us. And sin will harm us in life and forever unless we can be saved from our sin. Unless we can have our sins forgiven. Unless we can have our sinful hearts changed. And boys and girls, that brings us to the other two animals. These two animals teach us about our sin. But these last two animals that we've read about in Revelation teach us about how we can be saved from our sin. Not only boys and girls and young people, but older people as well. We need to be saved from our sins. We need our sins forgiven. And it's only through the Lord Jesus and what He did when He came into this world and lived a perfect life and went to the cross and shed His blood and died and arose again. It's only through that great work that we can be saved from our sins, that we can come and ask the Lord to forgive us and ask the Lord to be our Savior. Boys and girls, we've already said the Lord Jesus is likened to two animals. You all know about this one about Margaret Hall. I'm sure you've seen this before. Yes, a sheep or a lamb. Can you see the wee ribbon that's on it? Can you see what's on the ribbon, though? No, it's a bit far away, is it? It's a wee bow tie. It's sort of like a wee bow tie. But you know, if you look close enough, it's actually a Union flag on that. You see, when my wife bought it, it was not that long ago. My wife bought it. There was a different ribbon on it, and she didn't think it just was a very good ribbon. She didn't think it was very good when I used it in our church on Children's Day, and she thought it wasn't very good to bring it to Margaret Hill. So she bought a new ribbon, and she put it on last night. But the lamb, we've said, this animal is the spotted animal. This fox is the sly animal. But the lamb in the Bible is the spotless animal. Boys and girls, I don't know, some of you maybe live on a farm. Maybe there's sheep, lambs on the farm. And, of course, in real life they get dirty and so on. But when we read in the Bible, back in the book of Exodus, we read of a time when the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt. And they were being treated very cruelly. They were in bondage. They were slaves. And they cried to God. And God sent them a man called Moses to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. And one particular night, something important was to happen concerning a lamb. Each household of the children of Israel and Egypt were to take a lamb. Not just any old lamb, but the best lamb that they could find. A spotless lamb as they could find. A lamb without blemish. That little lamb was to be put to death. Its blood was to be shed. And its blood was to be painted around the doorposts of the children of Israel in Egypt. Because this particular night, God was going to come and he was going to send judgment through the land of Egypt. And the firstborn in each home was going to die. But when God would see the blood of the little lamb on the doorposts of the homes of the children of Israel, they would be safe from death. And that's exactly what happened. And boys and girls, when we turn to the New Testament, we find that that lamb speaks to us about the Lord Jesus. He is the lamb without blemish and without spot. He had no spots of sin in his life. The Lord Jesus was a perfect boy, a perfect young person, a perfect man, because he was no ordinary person. He came into this world as God the Son, the God-man. He never thought a sinful thought. He never said a sinful word. He never did a sinful deed. And he lived that perfect life on our behalf, on behalf of all who would trust him. And then he went to the cross at Calvary and he shed his blood. And he took the punishment we deserve for our sins. He died. He arose again. And that's why we can be saved from our sins. If we will come, whether we're young or old, if we will come and confess our sins to God and ask him to forgive us and wash away our sins because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Ask the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. We can be saved from our sins. We can be forgiven. And we never will have to be punished forever for our sins in that terrible place called hell. How important that we trust the Lord Jesus. One day during the ministry of a man called John the Baptist, he saw the Lord Jesus coming along and he said to the people, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And the Lord will take away your sins today if you will come and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be your Savior. And then someday, the Bible says, if you become a Christian, someday you'll be presented to God in heaven without spot. All your sins cleansed, all your sins washed away. And that brings us, boys and girls, to one last animal. And you know what it is, because we read about it, didn't we? Let me tell you what the last one is. The lion. That's right, the lion. This lion's a bit bigger than all the other animals, isn't it? If the battery was switched on, it actually does something, but we'll not do that today. I have one picture. See that? See the lion? Okay. And those verses we read in Revelation, yes, one of them speaks about the Lord Jesus as the Lamb, but the other speaks of him as the lion. Again, if you want to see a lion, well, you'll probably have to go to the zoo, maybe the circus, maybe some wildlife program on the television. I don't think there's too many lions about Market Hill. Maybe there is, I don't know. But if this is a spotted animal, and this is the sly animal, this is the spotless lamb, the lion is the strong lion. The Bible actually says in Proverbs chapter 30 and the verse 30 that a lion is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. The lion has been made by God as a very strong animal. And boys and girls, that teaches us again about the Lord Jesus. He's the only one has the strength and the power to change our hearts and to deliver us from our sin, to take our sins away, that we might be brought into his family, that we someday might be in heaven. He's described in Revelation as the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who has prevailed because of his great power. But boys and girls, the Lord is the lion. The lion who has the power to save us from our sins. The Bible says he has also the power to judge us and to punish us forever for our sins if we don't come and ask him to forgive us and ask him to save us. There's a verse in Hosea chapter 13 where the people of Israel, they had forgotten God. They had turned away from God. They had turned to false gods. And God said he would meet them as a lion. And he would devour them as a lion. In other words, he would punish them for their sins. How much better, boys and girls, to come and ask the Lord to forgive our sins. Ask him to be our Savior. Ask him to bring us into his family, that someday we might be with him forever. And the same message is important for the mums and dads and grannies and grandas, for us all. We all need the spots of sin taken away. We all need the sinful character of our sin taken out of our lives. And it's only the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, can wash away our sins and deliver us from our sins. And I trust if you've never experienced God's salvation, that you might come and receive him as your Savior today. May God bless his word to our hearts.